The reason we must have hope in life is because we live in a broken world. This is earth, not heaven. So we shouldn't expect things to be perfect here. Because of our self-centered, sinful choices, and the tendency of everyone else in every generation to do the same thing, the sins of humanity have damaged what was once a perfect place. Eden is long gone. Our planet is out of order. It's the damage done by what theologians call the fall. We lost paradise and we lost our innocence due to the rebellion against God. And we've struggled with difficulty and doubt and discouragement and despair ever since. You see, absolutely nothing works perfectly on earth. The weather doesn't, the economy doesn't, your own body doesn't. No marriage or relationship works perfectly because it's composed of imperfect people. And your plans in life haven't worked out perfectly. And this is the reason we need hope. Because everything in life is broken, but we're not left alone. God gives us hope. This is Daily Hope, and I'm Rick Warren.
Today, on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we bring you part one of a message called Recovering Your Joy. But just before that, you know, so many people request copies of Rick's teaching every day for their personal use or to share with a friend who needs to hear the message. And there are certain key messages that are asked for over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick asked us to put together the very first ever collection of his most requested teachings. This very special 6-CD collection is sure to be a blessing to you, a family member, or a loved one. You can get your copy of the most requested sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 1, right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word daily to 313131. And now, here's Rick.
You know, if my wife, Kay, was never happy, that would reflect poorly on me as a husband. If my wife was unhappy all the time, what does that say about me as a husband? If my children never, ever experienced joy in life, if my children were not cheerful, but always seemed to be morose, that would say something about me as a father, as a parent. When God's children aren't filled with joy, it makes God look bad. Cranky Christians are a bad witness. Do you know what I'm talking about? Don't look at them right now, but you know who I'm talking about. Cranky Christians. They look like they've been sucking on pickles or something. You know, baptized in vinegar, you know, they just kind of... never really smiling, never really happy. That makes God look bad. Why? Because God wants us to be witnesses with our countenance. Now, the Bible tells us that the Christian life, the life that God has for you, the kingdom of God, can be summed up in three words. It's there at the top of your outline. The Bible says in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. In other words, the life God has for you, God's kingdom, God's rule and reign, is not about rules, regulations, and rituals. It's not about what you eat, and it's not about what you drink. The kingdom of God, he says, is living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to circle goodness, peace, and joy, because those three words define the kind of life God wants you to live. It's the kind of life I want to live. I want to live a good life. I want to live a peaceful life, and I certainly want to live a joyful life. That's God's goal for us. And following Jesus, the Bible says, when we follow him, it brings joy. The reality is, though, you can lose it so quickly. It's very easy to lose, and there are thousands of ways to lose it. There are thousands of killjoys in life that'll rob you of your joy. Even to the point that somebody like Jeremiah, a prophet of God, could say this in Lamentations chapter 5, the joy of our hearts has ended. Now, I don't know if that's where you are today, but if you've ever gone through that period where you just feel like, I've lost the spark, I'm not where I used to be, I'm not as close to God as I used to be, I'm not as on fire, I don't have that same joy, it's become more of a routine, it's kind of same place, same thing, ta-dum, ta-dum, and you're just kind of going through the motions of life, you picked a good weekend to come to church. because we're going to look at the seven steps, Bible steps, to restoring your joy. God tells us how to do it. Not only is it easy to lose your joy, it's actually quite easy to get it back. How do I get my joy back? Seven steps. Number one, the first step that I need to do is admit I've lost it. I need to admit that I've lost my joy. Obviously, logically, I can't recover something until I realize I've lost it. If you've ever lost a child in a store or a mall and they were gone for 30 seconds before you noticed, or a minute before you noticed, they were lost but you didn't notice it, but you can't find them until first you know they're gone. Now, the way you do this is real simple. You look at your past and you ask yourself a couple questions. Has there ever been a time in my life when I was closer to God than I am right now? Has there ever been a time in my life that I was more joyful in the Lord than I am right now? If so, now's the chance to make the change. But you've got to start by admitting that you've lost what you had in the past. You can ask God about it. He's waiting to help you. David prayed this in Psalm 51. He says there on your outline, Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Now, he doesn't say restore my salvation, because he hadn't lost his salvation. He had lost the joy. He had lost the joy of his salvation. Now, the second thing you do is you analyze the cause. You look at your life and you ask yourself, how did I lose it? How did I lose my joy? What is robbing my joy? What are the killjoys? It just doesn't walk away out of your life. There are certain things, circumstances, people, actions, that rob us of our joy. And so we have to look at our lives. And the Bible tells us to do this many times in Scripture. It says to examine your life. One example is this verse here in Lamentations 3:40. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Now circle these three things. Examine our ways, test, and return. That's how you get your joy back. You examine your life. Okay, what has caused me to lose my joy? You test it out. What are the killjoys in my life? And then you return to the Lord. Now, there are hundreds and hundreds of killjoys in life. Let me just give you a couple that you might want to write these down, because they're the most common ones that I see in people's lives. One thing that robs your joy is an unbalanced schedule. An unbalanced schedule. If you're overworked, or if you're underworked, either one of them can cause you to lose your joy, to get bored, to lose your passion. You always need a balance between rest and work, between input and output. If your output exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. Maybe I need to repeat that, but tough. Some of you, you're always giving out. You're always caring. You're always serving. You're always sharing. You're always caregiving. And you're giving, giving, giving all the time, and you don't get any input in your life. And pretty soon, you get compassion fatigue. And in compassion fatigue, you stop caring. You stop caring about others. And then you stop caring about God. Then you stop caring about yourself. And that is compassion fatigue that just comes when you have an unbalanced schedule. Others of you, you're the exact opposite. You have too much input and no expression of it. You're taking in all good kinds of things, but you're not exercising your heart, exercising your spirit. You're not serving in a ministry. You're not giving back in any way. You're just taking it in. And that'll make you lose your joy too, just as much as giving out too much. I know people who go to everything that happens at a church, and when the doors are open, man, you're there, and you come in and you get spiritually fed, but you're not using it. So you're just spiritually getting fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter, and pretty soon you're so fat we just have to roll you down the aisle. That's where we get the term holy roller. It's just too much input and not enough expression. Impression without expression leads to depression. That means you can sit and you can take notes week after week after week of all kinds of teaching, listen to it on the radio, but if you don't ever do anything about it, you are going to lose your joy. You have to have balance in your life. You got to give out, you got to take in. This may shock you, but Bible study without ministry Input without output, actually, over the long haul, is bad for you. It's bad for you. Why? Because the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And you just get more and more knowledge, but the Bible says the more you know, the more you're accountable for it. And so it's actually increasing the amount of judgment on your life because you know more, but you're not doing anything about it. What I'm saying here is that for joy to happen in your life, you have to have balance. Now, we know that physically in your diet, you have to have an equal balance of fats and carbs and protein and chocolate. And you got to have all four balanced in your life or you're not going to have any joy. Take any of them out. You got to have that healthy thing. And the same thing is true spiritually. You got to have worship experiences and fellowship experiences, and you got to have Bible study experiences, and you got to have ministry experiences where you serve, and you got to have outreach experiences where you share with other people. And if any of those are missing, your life is imbalanced.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called Recovering Your Joy. We'll continue with more in just a moment. But first, be sure to check out rickwarren.org, where you can sign up for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. Thousands of folks just like you benefit from Rick's personal and practical emails each day. So sign up and be encouraged. More Daily Hope with Rick Warren just ahead.
So many people request copies of Rick's teaching every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. There are a few key messages that are so transformational that people request them over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick has asked us to put together the first ever collection of six of his most life-changing teachings. They include Winning with the Hand You're Dealt, The Amazing Power of Forgiveness, The Skills of Leadership, When Your World Collapses, How Can I Know God's Will, and as an added blessing, Rick and Kay's personal testimony following the tragic loss of their youngest son. This very special 6-CD collection is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. It's yours when you support this broadcast ministry today with a financial gift. Get your copy of the most requested sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 1, right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. When you support Daily Hope, you help bring the hope found in God's Word to people all around the world. Thanks so much for your prayers and your support.
Once again, here's Rick Warren.
Input without output over the long haul is bad for you. Why? Because the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And you just get more and more knowledge, but the Bible says the more you know, the more you're accountable for it. And so it's actually increasing the amount of judgment on your life because you know more, but you're not doing anything about it. What I'm saying here is that for joy to happen in your life, you have to have balance. Now, we know that physically in your diet, you have to have an equal balance of fats and carbs and protein and chocolate. And you got to have all four balanced in your life or you're not going to have any joy. Take any of them out. You got to have that healthy thing. And the same thing is true spiritually. You got to have worship experiences and fellowship experiences, and you got to have Bible study experiences, and you got to have ministry experiences where you serve, and you got to have outreach experiences where you share with other people. And if any of those are missing, your life is imbalanced. You got to have a little bit of both. An unbalanced schedule will cause you to lose your joy. Second thing is an unused talent. An unused talent causes people to lose their joy so very fast. You see, you were created by God for a purpose. We've talked about this so many times. And God has wired you up with certain gifts and talents and abilities and passion and heart and experiences. We call it your shape. God has shaped you. And if you're not using your shape, if you're not using the talents God has given you, you're going to lose your joy. You're going to get frustrated and you're going to get stuck in a rut. If you have a job that does not use the talents you've got, you're bored with that job. Now think about this. If you've got 100% of talent and your job only uses 75% or 70% of your talent, that's a 30% boredom factor with your job. Now, you're never going to find a job that will ultimately fulfill every one of your talents. No job will perfectly always fulfill you completely, because God never meant for you to just do a job here on earth. He wants you to do ministry. That's where you're serving other people on a volunteer basis. You're helping, not getting paid for it. You're just serving out of a heart. So what do? Don't look for a job that uses 100% of your talent. Take whatever percent that's not being used by your job and use it in ministry. Does that make sense? Okay? Because no job will be fulfilling. Now, on the other hand, if you're in a job that's only using 25% of your talent, as your friend and as your pastor, I'm telling you, get out. Get out. Life is too short. Life is too important. And what God wants to do in your life is too important for you to be in a job that only uses 25% of your talent. Money is not as important as you using what God has given you to do. And we have the choice to change jobs and things like that. But you get in a job that fulfills the talents and the purposes that God gave you. Now, I'm not telling you to do it overnight. I'm going to go out tomorrow and say, I resign. I don't like my job. What I am telling you to do is you need to start making a plan and prepare to transition out of a job that's killing you, because it's not using the gifts and abilities that God gave you. And that's not good stewardship, and God never planned for you to do that with your life. The third thing that will cause you to lose your joy is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin piles up in our lives, and when we don't admit it to God, and we don't admit it to ourselves, and we don't want to admit it to anybody else, few things rob your joy, your confidence, faster than guilt. Now, you can rationalize it consciously, but it festers in your subconscious, and you can feel the drain. It's like a slow leak in a tire. It festers in your mind, and you cannot be enthusiastic and joyful and at the same time as feeling guilty. Guilt and joy cannot be in the same mind at the same time. You know, sometimes I'm at home working on my computer and I get the blue screen of death. If you use Windows, you know what it is. It's the GPF, the general protection fault, that says, danger, Will Robinson, we've shut down the system so it doesn't get destroyed. When you get guilt in your conscience, you get a GPF in your mind. You get a general protection fault. Your mind goes on tilt, and there's no way you're going to be joyful and guilty at the same time. Now, fortunately, this killjoy is very easy to resolve. Just admit it to God, receive forgiveness, confess your sins. He's waiting to forgive you. There is no reason to ever go longer than about 3 seconds with guilt. None whatsoever. When Christ died to remove the guilt in your life, that's what the cross is all about. So you don't have to nail yourself to the cross. He died for you so you can live without guilt. So there's no reason to carry that on, but it will rob you of your joy. The fourth thing that will rob you, kill joy, is an unresolved conflict. An unresolved conflict. Have you ever started a day, you got up in the morning and think, this is going to be a great day. And then you have an argument with your husband or your wife or a friend or a neighbor or a relative or somebody in your family, and your passion and your joy just drains out of you. The zip goes out of your doodah. You know, it just goes down instantly, and then you got to go off to work and you don't have time to resolve the conflict. And so then you're just feeling cruddy all day, because you got that unresolved conflict that hasn't been dealt with, and you need to deal with it. That will rob you of your joy. You need to make peace. It's, as I said, it's kind of like letting air out of a tire. Just your attitude goes flat when you have an unresolved conflict in your life that just keeps going on and on and on. Now, some of you at work have people around you who are professional killjoys. You know what I'm talking about? And they walk in the room and they suck all the oxygen out and they fill it with negativity, and they're cranky and they're bitter and they're gossipy, and every time you're around them, that puts you in a bad mood. So what do you do that? Here's a very spiritual solution. Avoid them. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to hang out with cranks. Okay, you just get away from them. You say, well, they're going to be in the lunchroom. I don't want to sit by them. I don't want to hear them, you know, bad mouthing this and complaining about that. Now, if you're married to them, you got a problem. You're going to have to go get some counsel together And they're going to need to get some counsel. Because you cannot allow the attitudes of jealousy or resentment or anger to well up in your life. You're going to lose your joy. Lots more. Let me just give you one more. An undernourished spirit. An undernourished spirit will be one of the causes that will cause you to lose your joy. You see, every day of your life, there are all kinds of circumstances that are conspiring to shrink your spirit and shrivel your heart and drain the joy and enthusiasm out of your life. So you must have a plan to intentionally feed your spirit.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
As we come to the end of this year, I want to ask you a very personal question. Will you be any different a year from today? Did you know that God wants you to be different by this time next year? God is in the business of transforming lives. He wants to change you so you become more and more like Jesus every day, every week, every month, and every year with more love, more hope, more faith, and more peace in your life. Now here's a hint on how God will change you over this next year. The further away you get from God, the more your life will be troubled. But the closer you get to God, the more your life will be transformed. Now, I want to help you in this transformation. And so at the end of the year, I've put together a collection of six of my favorite sermons to help you. Now, these six messages are messages that God has particularly used at Saddleback Church and on the air and in the lives of many, many people to change hearts and to transform character and to solve problems. These messages will help improve you spiritually and emotionally. They're going to make you healthier in every area. God will use them to transform the way you think, the way you act, and the way you feel. I've seen them be used by God to literally transform relationships. And I want to send these six messages to you as my Christmas gift to say thanks for supporting Daily Hope this year with your financial gifts. You know, we have taken some huge steps and risks this year as we have launched the Final Frontier Project to take the hope of Christ to the 3,000 tribes around the world that still have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. It's a huge project, but we can do this together. You know, one drop of rain doesn't make a difference, but a million drops of rain can turn a desert into a garden. And as you consider your year-end giving, would you please pray about sending a major gift to Daily Hope this Christmas season as your Christmas gift to God? This month, it's important because any gift you give during this Christmas season will actually be doubled. You say, how is that? Well, there's a generous friend of Daily Hope who's so serious about taking the good news and Daily Hope around the world that he's offered up to $50,000, matching up to $50,000 in donations that come in. So I want to encourage you to pray about a special major gift this Christmas at the end of the year. And while I'm at it, I also want to ask you to give me another gift, and that is your prayers. We cannot do this ministry without your prayers. Pray for Daily Hope and the broadcast. Pray for Daily Hope, the daily devotional that goes out to hundreds of thousands of people around the world. And pray for the Final Frontier Project, where we're taking the good news of Jesus to every tribe that has no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. If you will join my prayer team, would you let me know about it? Write to me, rick@rickwarren.org, and just let me know, Rick, I'm going to be praying for you, and I'm going to be supporting you. It'll mean so much to me. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.